You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Washington, D.C. offices of the law firm Personality. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Tracy Hammond, Harry Spiridis, Steve Straney, and Tim Perrin from the law firm Personality. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Emily Scores, CEO of Growth Energy, Kateri Callahan, President of Alliance to Save Energy, Steve Sandher, CEO of Associated General Contractors of America, and Jerry Howard, CEO, National Association of Home Builders. Let's get to know our first guest, Emily Score, CEO of Growth Energy. And Emily, what is Growth Energy? What do you guys do?
We are a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit trade association, and we represent the supporters and producers of ethanol, which is America's homegrown biofuel.
How large or how small is this organization?
Our operating budget is $24 million, and we've got 20 full-time staff.
And how old is this organization?
It started in 2008, so 9 years now.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have three sisters.
Three sisters. Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm number two.
You're the second oldest. And what did you learn growing up with three sisters?
You know, your sisters are both your best friend and your biggest champion, as well as your biggest critic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned what that support network means, how
Ooh.
You can rely on people who love you and support you to give you confidence,
uh-huh.
but also what it is to disappoint someone. We have very high expectations of one another,
mm-hmm.
and we would hold each other up to high standards.
Wow. Also, didn't you tell us earlier in the green room when we were talking that gender doesn't mean much to you?
Well, when the family is pretty much all women, and even dad wears pink when we go out,
mm-hmm.
Gender kind of you're just not thinking about it, because in the household we would do the laundry and we'd iron, but we would also carry the firewood and move furniture and help dad paint and
mm-hmm.
And do things around the house. And so you're just not conscious of gender differences in that way.
Mm-hmm. What did dad do for a living?
He was a corporate litigator.
And how about mom?
Mom was the head of the household, and mm-hmm. she ran a small business, and she was a piano teacher as well.
What kind of a small business did she run?
It was called The Music Room. She had it for
mm-hmm.
10 years.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever work in The Music Room?
I did on Saturdays.
And how old were you when you started working in there? How young were you?
I think I was probably 15.
And what were you doing in this music store?
I would be the only person working in the store, and we sold classical and jazz.
What was your job?
Oh, to sell the records and the tapes and the CDs.
Wait, you're 15 years old. Aren't you afraid of adults? I mean, and let alone a young 15-year-old girl selling?
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. I loved working at the store. I was the only one there. I got to do everything. I would help them pick out the merchandise, and I'd figure out the tax. That was back still when you actually had the tax written on a piece of paper.
You just have a lot of confidence, it sounds like, in order to take that role on. What's your role in this organization known as?
I'm the CEO.
CEO. Mm-hmm. What's the CEO of Growth Energy supposed to be doing?
Well, I'm the team leader. And I think it's like being the captain of a sports team. That's what I did in college. And
what did you do in college? What kind of sports did you play?
I played tennis.
And what was your role on the team?
I was the captain.
What's the captain do on a tennis team?
Your job is to motivate.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to bring out the best in everyone.
Well, so how's that parallel your role as CEO of Growth Energy?
Well, I suppose there's some good parallels there.
What do you
mean? I really want to bring out the best in everyone. I want to play to strengths,
mm-hmm.
and I believe in motivating a little bit more with a carrot, occasionally with a stick. You have to.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Who's got the next question here? Harry.
You said you have three sisters.
I do.
And they're your best friends and your biggest critics.
They
right?
are, still to this day.
And that's where I wanted to get to. Do you find it that since you had all these female influences around you, did you find that humbling in the sense that they were your biggest critics? They weren't afraid to be your biggest critics?
You know, perhaps. At the end of the day, what it gave me was confidence, because I knew they were always in my corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you had your biggest failure and your biggest disappointment, they would always be there to help pick you up and put you back in place for the next day.
Tracy?
Yeah, you mentioned that your mom was a music teacher. Did you play any instruments growing up?
We all played multiple instruments. I played the piano and the violin, though I was much better at the piano.
And, you know, learning an instrument, I play the guitar myself. I just wondered if you've taken anything from that, learning an instrument and practicing that into your leadership now.
Oh, Absolutely. I mean, first of all, it requires a lot of discipline because you have to be able to do this by yourself. When you're at the piano practicing and you have to do the scales every day, half an hour of scales before I'd even get into the repertoire, that's a lot of discipline, and it's a lot of alone time, and it's not always fun. I think I took a lot away from the performances.
What do you mean?
Well, the toughest, the most nervous I've ever gotten in my entire life would be for a piano performance or a piano competition.
Wait a minute. It says here that you're the CEO of Growth Energy, which is a really well-known organization. You're telling me that a piano performance was more nerve-wracking than running this organization?
Absolutely.
Why is that? What do you mean?
Because you want to be absolutely perfect, that every note is perfect, that the musicianship that you bring is perfect, and that's a tremendous amount of pressure.
Who's got the next question here?
Hey, Emily, I've got two daughters, and I'm very familiar with the squabbles that happen around bathroom time allotments. How would you say that interaction with your sisters growing up impacted your management style?
Well, modesty went out the window there.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got to a point where we could work with and around one another quite seamlessly, and it was almost an unspoken communication. You just rotate from the shower to the sink to the hair dryer, and we didn't have a choice. We all had to get dressed. We all had to get out the door at the same time, so we just had to make it work, and we didn't overthink it.
How's that had a positive effect on your work style and building this organization called Growth Energy?
Well, I suppose, you know, you're all in it together. And we all have some accountability and responsibility, and you don't want to isolate one person. You don't want to have everything ride on one person. And so maybe you know, there are some of the similarities.
Yeah, it sounds like the chain is only as good as its weakest link, and the key is making sure everybody's dependable.
And it all goes back to the girls' bathroom.
There we go. Who's got the next question? Let's see. Sinead, what kind of question you got there? Or Stephen, either way, who's got the next question?
Oh, sure. Well, hey, Emily, when you're recommending to young people about pursuing different sort of activities, more individualized activities like piano or tennis or sports like soccer and things, when you reflect back, what do you think you learned the most from?
I probably learned the most from the team sport. And I would always encourage my own children and anyone to play team sport. My husband and I met him, my husband, in first grade. And so we know a lot of this. We have a lot of similarities growing up. And we always comment to one another kind of in the corporate setting. You can tell who played on a team sport in high school. You can tell by their personality and how they, you can just tell.
So you're one that really believes that we need to go experience team sports because that really helps develop who we are in terms of the team later on in life.
Absolutely, because you rise and fall together. You have to learn how to win, and you have to learn how to lose, too.
Huh, interesting. Sinead, what kind of question you got? What's going on in your mind? What are you thinking?
I'm just in awe because I feel like her life is very similar to mine, and I enjoy listening to how she's grown in her career. And so my question would be, what advice do you have moving forward for people that are following in your footsteps?
Well, I've been asked this question before, and my mother always said, be true to yourself. So that's one thing that I always try to do. One thing that I think worked well for me early on in my career when I was a consultant and I was younger than most people in the room, who had a lot more work experience and life experience, is to know your strength and kind of play to your strength and know your lane. And I knew at that table there were a lot of really smart people, but I was there because I had an expertise. And if I stayed true to that expertise, then I think I'd manage pretty well in the conversation. And that seemed to work for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dad was a corporate litigator, correct?
He still is to this day.
And what was talk around the dining room table about? Like Dad and all these girls and so on and so forth, yes.
We talked about Dad's work. We talked a lot about what was going on in school. We all were in lots of activities. And so we'd talk about friends and what the piano competition or recital or tennis match.
And was Mom talking about the business as well?
A little bit. She tended to focus really more on what was going on with the kids and what we were up to.
And what did you learn from Dad around the dining room table?
You know, he has the most integrity of anybody I've ever met. And he's so kind. He's so smart, but so humble. And I have a good appreciation for just putting your head down and working hard.
Wait a second. Kind, yet a litigator? What do you mean? Tell me about that.
Well, he, at home, he was the dad of the proud father of four girls. And so mm-hmm. that's how we saw him. I remember going to the courtroom once, and I was 6 and my older sister was 12. And it was very serious. And it's the first time we'd been in the courtroom. Well, of course she does something and starts making me laugh. And I was horribly embarrassed.
Oh,
and we had to leave
gosh.
Because it was a very serious environment. But I wasn't used to
What did you learn
like
from that.
That
experience in the courtroom watching Dad?
I was just so proud and impressed. And wow, he's mm-hmm. he's really got it together. That was I enjoyed that.
What's the website address of this organization known as Growth Energy?
GrowthEnergy.org.
We've been speaking with Emily Score, CEO of Growth Energy. Growth Energy here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Nice interview.
Nice, very good.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Tracy Hammond, Paul Cinelli, Harry Spiridis. How do you pronounce your last name, Harry?
Spiridis.
Stephen Straney and Tim Perrin from Paul Cinelli. We'd like to introduce Kateri Callahan, president of Alliance to Save Energy. Kateri, what is this Alliance to Save Energy? What do you guys do?
Well, we're a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C., and we promote energy efficiency, and we do that for the economic benefits, the energy security benefits, and, of course, the environmental benefits.
Excellent. How large or how small is this organization?
Well, we're about $7 million in an annual budget, and we have a staff of 22 right now.
All right. And how old's the organization?
I'm so proud of this. The organization turns 40 this year. We were actually created as a result of the first energy crisis in the United States.
And how long have you been with the organization?
14 years in January.
14 years. Where are you from originally?
I'm from a little town in Indiana, Clarksville, Indiana, which is a bedroom community of Louisville, Kentucky.
What was the population of Clarksville, Indiana?
Well, it was a township, and it was about 17,000.
17,000. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother and two sisters.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm first.
You're first.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the effect of your growing up the oldest of four?
Well, first of all, we were all very close in age, and my mother lovingly referred to the first three of us as Irish triplets, and so it was interesting because I took that leader role, but also there was a great deal of competition. So it was an interesting, I think, first birth order because my brother was only 10 months younger than I was, so lots and lots of competition.
Well, what effect, earlier in the green room, we were just, you know, playing with our intuition, and what came out was the effect of your grandparent, your grandmothers on you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So my grandmothers were friends their entire adult lives. They met at an all-girls Catholic boarding school. One grandmother taught the other, and they introduced my parents. And so my dad's mother was very, very close to me because my other grandmother, whom I'm named for, died before I was born. So I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and particularly my grandmother, and it was a wonderful experience growing up.
What was the benefit? What did you end up picking up from your grandparents?
So from my grandmother, I think my self-confidence, a lot of it goes there because she was such a safe place. And even when I failed, she was always there for me. She didn't gloss over things. And she would tell me when she thought I wasn't doing something that was right or good or as well as I could do it. But I always felt safe with her. So a great deal of confidence from her. My granddad gave me a love for growing things and for gardening.
Wait. So hold on. You're telling me self-confidence came from making sure that you felt safe, and it wasn't like your grandmother never told you about things you could have done better. She did, but she did it in a safe environment, and that helped give you self-confidence.
It did. It also helped give me self-confidence, I think, to be the oldest of four kids who were close in age because, you know, you just had to sort of fight for everything you wanted. And in doing so, I think you gained self-confidence.
What's the self-confidence have to do with growing this organization called Alliance to Save Energy?
Well, I think I found throughout my career, but at the Alliance, that you have to have self-confidence and feel that what you're doing is right and going to have an impact, and you have to be confident enough to take risks and fail sometimes.
How long have you been with this organization?
14 years.
why don't you go get a job somewhere else?
I've been asked that a lot, especially by my son, who says I should go in the for-profit world and cash out. I'm having fun. I feel like I'm making a difference and having a positive impact. And it's always something new because our issue is so broad,
how
energy efficiency.
How young were you when you felt you started making a difference? Give me an example at a young age of how you felt you were making a difference.
In my professional career, I would say.
Nine, 8 to 14 years
eight
old.
8 to 14, how I made a difference.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that I was making a difference. I went to Catholic school and spent a lot of time with the nuns and worked with them and went on retreats and thought that I wanted to be a nun. And I felt that I was making a difference because I was helping them and very involved in the religion.
How were you
at that
helping
time.
Them?
Well, I would clean the sacristy and I would help with grading papers, actually, even in the sixth grade.
What did you learn from those experiences that you're using nowadays?
You know, loyalty is very important to me. I think I learned
that.
Wait
a minute. I read the newspapers and all I see is people suing everybody else. And you're talking about loyalty?
Yeah, I am. I don't think you can be a good leader if you're not loyal. You have to be loyal first and foremost to your organization, its cause, and then to your people. You don't make it if you're not a loyal person.
I just wanted to make sure I understand who's got the next question.
Katera, we were talking earlier about your grandmother that you're named after. You had told us that she passed away 6 months before you were born. And one of the things that you said was that, you know, you didn't really think that she was an influence on you. However, it seems like she really was an influence on you. You had mentioned that she was studying to become a nun at one time, too. And I find it very interesting that some of the things that you're saying about your current career, how, you know, your son tells you to go cash out, but you're not going to cash out because you're doing something good. Isn't that kind of the same ethic that a Catholic nun would have in terms of moving forward? Don't you think that that has been instilled in you somehow?
Well, since we had the discussion in the green room, I've been thinking about that, and I guess I do know her better than I thought because I grew up hearing all about her and what a fantastic woman she was and how devoted to the Catholic faith that she was and to her family and how hard she worked at everything she did. So I think it's probably true. I just never thought about it in that context because she wasn't a real figure in my life. She was just someone almost mythical that I heard about so much.
And it's also interesting you use the word devotion because it certainly occurs to me that you're rather devoted to your career as the president of the Alliance to Save Energy. Isn't that fair?
I think it's very fair. Mm-hmm. I don't take this job lightly, and I wouldn't be here for 14 years if I weren't devoted to the cause and, again, believing that we're really making a difference.
And how's the organization making a difference?
Well, we are providing the opportunity through policy advocacy and through communications to empower people to use energy more efficiently and more wisely. And when you do that, you're putting money back into people's pockets because they're not wasting energy and then therefore paying too much. But you're also helping the environment because you're avoiding the use of energy.
All right. Who's got the next question?
Earlier, you mentioned that you have a lot of young people who work in the organization, and just kind of looking at your interests of cultivating that you got from your grandfather of gardening and whatnot, would you say that you cultivate young talent in your current role?
I think that we do that a lot. What we can offer as a nonprofit is an opportunity for young people to perhaps do more professionally than they otherwise would be able to. We've got a very lean budget, as you just heard, and we have a very big job to do. So we allow people to grow professionally. We can't pay them a lot, but we nurture them. We teach them. We often have them only for a few years, but I really believe we launch them on a very good career path.
Stephen, Tracy?
Sure. Sure. Kateri, you mentioned you're the oldest of four. I'm the oldest as well. And I wondered, you know, were there ever times, you know, you wished you were the youngest? And, you know, if you were the youngest, do you think that would have changed you, you know, growing up as well?
Wow. Yes, I often wished I was the youngest. We always thought of my youngest sister as the pet. But I think it probably would have changed me. Because I don't believe I perhaps would have been as driven as I am. However, having said that, my sister is very successful in her life, so I think there's good in any birth order place.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So even though you're driven and you're certainly a person that organizes other people, you could have made a lot of money if you were in the private sector. It sounds like you really are devoted to this cause.
Well, I'm not sure I could make a lot of money in the private sector. My son certainly is.
It certainly sounds to it.
I've never been driven. I've never worked in the corporate environment.
What's the website address for this Alliance to Save Energy?
ASE, so applesamedward.org.
Let me have that one more time.
ASE.org.
We've been speaking with Kateri Callahan, president of Alliance to Save Energy, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Back in a moment, right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Steve Sandher, the CEO of Associated General Contractors of America. Stephen, what is Associated General Contractors of America? What are you guys doing?
Well, we're the largest commercial construction association in the country. We have 26,000 members in all 50 states in Puerto Rico. And we have an operating budget of about $20 million a year.
Where were you from originally?
I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. How many brothers and sisters?
Two brothers, two sisters.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I am the oldest.
What was the effect of your growing up the oldest of five in Harrisburg?
What was the effect?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I saw myself as somebody who was a traditionalist who recognized and appreciated hierarchy, and saw it as my duty to bring my brothers and sisters along and accept the system that we were in.
Wait. Hold on for a second here. So you felt you respected authority, and also, you thought your role was to bring people along. I'm wondering, and that comes from your background, your childhood. What's your role? Isn't that your role as CEO of the Associated General Contractors of America?
Sure it is.
What do you mean?
It's basically on parallel tracks. On the one hand, I have to, with my members, and we represent a diversity of different type of construction contractors. I have to help them reach consensus. So I have to be able to listen. I have to be able to make sure that all voices are heard. I have to ensure that the process is right. And that at the end of that process, that even if people don't agree with the conclusion, they respect it.
What did mom do for a living?
My mom was a stay-at-home mom until the youngest went away to school.
Yeah, and then what?
And then she became, much to my regret, the secretary to my high school disciplinarian.
And tell us about the effect of that on you.
Well, it's kind of difficult to be a 16-year-old kid in high school. And have your mother sitting 25 feet away from the guy who delivers punishment and penance.
So you learned about authority and respecting authority because mom was in a position of authority and respect.
Yes, as she was at home as well.
How young were you when you started making money?
14.
Whose idea was it?
Mine.
And what were you doing at 15 or 16?
I was a projectionist at a five-plex movie theater.
So what were you doing different than what ended up happening? What were you doing different than the other kids that got hired to do that job at 15, 16?
You know, my job had a lot more responsibility, a lot more authority.
Why'd you have more responsibility and authority? I'm trying to figure that out.
I've always been old for my age.
So you naturally assumed the responsibility when you were 15, 16 as a projectionist?
Yeah. Well, think about it. My first job was a paperboy. You have to do it every day. People depend upon you. You're accountable. If the paper's not delivered, you hear about it.
Wait. That thing about being accountable, about being responsible, about showing up, isn't that who you are nowadays in your role as the CEO of the Associated General Contractors of America?
Yes, and the pay's a lot better.
So these personality traits of yours were showing up at a young age.
Yes.
What did Dad do for a living?
The day I was born, my dad was climbing a pole as a lineman for an electric utility. On the day he retired, he was the area manager. He was the only person to have that title or that responsibility in his company that didn't have a college degree.
So Dad literally climbed up the
ladder. He climbed the pole. Yes, he did.
And he ended up with how'd that affect you?
It demonstrated to me that hard work and taking on more responsibility brought rewards.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here? Tim, Tracy, Steve?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So I am the son of a principal and kind of learned how to behave at school. Otherwise, it was double jeopardy and you would also get in trouble at home. And I wondered if, you know, that maybe growing up like that showed you the benefits of working within the system and if that's something you took from it and still do today.
Sure. And absolutely. And, you know, regardless of the position my mom had when I was in high school, I mean, there were really three rules in my house when I grew up. And they were always tell the truth, always do your best, and never do anything that would embarrass your mother.
Wow. All right. Who's got the next question there?
So I have a question for you. I too was working at 14. I'll never get going getting my worker's permit so I could be a dishwasher at Nick Idoni's House of Ribs. My question is, how does that work experience from an early age like that affect you today? Like, how does it benefit you today? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if anybody who's successful, whether it's in sports or business, music, has a work ethic. They are totally committed to the mission, whether it's to be, you know, the best quarterback, whether it's to be run the biggest company, the best guitar player in the world. You've got that work ethic and that commitment, and that's what makes people successful.
Steve, Tim, what kind of questions you guys got?
You seem to have you're not scared to get your hands dirty, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your free time, what do? Do you do anything that gets your hands dirty?
I play golf.
It can be very dirty on a rainy day.
It does sometimes.
If you're not very good.
Well, particularly when you have to go chase where my ball is. Mm-hmm. Actually, this isn't dirty, but I like to read history and biographies.
Why histories and biographies? What's that have to do with?
You learn what motivated people. You learn about their character.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how they, in most cases, how they've overcome obstacles.
So you're learning about people through reading these biographies and history.
Yes.
And you're seeing parallels to today.
Oh, absolutely.
How interesting. All right, next question. Who's got it?
Well, you've had a lot of experiences, Steve, in the work environment. Mm-hmm. In graduate education. I'm really interested in, with your job today, what do you like the most? Is it the strategy? Is it the working with people? Is it something else?
I like winning.
What do you mean?
I like coming up with a game plan, a strategy, putting the right players on the field, making sure that their talents are used to their limit. At the end of that process, typically you're going to win. Having the best argument and the best strategy.
Wow, you're like the master team builder, but you don't need the credit for it all, it sounds like. It sounds to me like you like pulling the team together and making sure it's going to work. That's the satisfaction for you.
It's a lot more fun when there's a group of people giving high fives to each other.
Wow. What kind of sports did you play when you were in school?
I ran cross country and I played basketball.
Uh-huh. What was the common effect you had on both of those teams?
I would say that I was seen as a team player. I was never the best athlete, but I was always somebody who would hustle and would do what it took to win.
Wow. Sounds like who you are nowadays, you know. You don't have to be the best player. Your game is to pull together the right players.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Who's got the next question here? What else are we thinking? Sinead?
So we talked earlier about Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and what it's like there, and how people generally don't leave the area.
Mm-hmm.
What possessed you to leave the area? What was it? What was that driving force for you?
Two things. I recognized at an early age that there was a bigger world outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Through reading.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I was at an early age, very early age, very interested in politics and policy, and wanted to come to Washington, D.C., because that's where it's
What made. Do you remember about? What was the triggering thing or event or thing that happened that triggered your interest in politics? What was that?
Well, I was in kindergarten. I was homesick from kindergarten on the day that John Kennedy was assassinated. But my parents told me that prior to that, I was 3, 4, 5 years old. I would watch his press conferences. I was
wow.
I was totally enamored with him, and As a kid, I read everything I could about him.
What part of Kennedy do you bring to work every day?
Self-deprecation.
What are you talking about?
Kennedy had a great way about him, a charm of being, you know, here he was the son of a multimillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the advantages of life, but he had a common touch, and a lot of that was because he could be self-deprecating.
Yeah.
He learned from his losses.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like earlier you were talking about how you like to win, but it's not you standing out front and thumping your chest. It's pulling the right team together and making sure that the team gets to the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds to me like you're comparing that with Kennedy.
In some ways, I never thought of it that way, but I guess that's, Kennedy's famous for, you know, the best and the brightest, bringing the smartest people he could to surround him.
Mm-hmm. Interesting parallel there. What's the website address of this organization?
AGC, that's applesgrapescherries.org.
AGC.org?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Steve, what's the best part of your gig? What do you enjoy most about it?
The people I work with. Talented, smart people that show up every day ready to work hard like our members do.
So you really enjoy the people?
Yes.
Huh. Are any of these people your personal friends nowadays?
Sure. Even some of my members are my personal friends.
So you really enjoy what you do for a living?
Yes, I do.
Let me have that website address one more time.
Sure. It's agc.org.
We've been speaking with Steve Sandhurst, CEO, Associated General Contractors of America, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this break.
Nice.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Jerry Howard, who's the CEO of the National Association of Home Builders. Jerry, what is the National Association of Home Builders?
NAHB is a trade association that represents the 130,000 corporations involved in building America's homes. Our members build about 90% of all housing in the United States.
Wow. And how large is the budget? How many employees? How large is the team?
Team is about right around 300 employees.
Wow.
And we have a budget of about $75 million a year.
A large organization. Where are you from originally?
I'm really not from any one place. My father was a resort developer, and so we moved around a lot.
How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
Five.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the oldest of eight.
All right, so you moved around a bunch of times, and you're the oldest of eight. What role did you end up taking in the family?
Well, we all just knew what our role was. Mine was just to sort of lead and make sure that the little kids were all doing what we were supposed to be doing.
Did somebody tell you you were supposed to lead, or did you just assume that role?
No, it was just generally expected.
Mm-hmm. So you knew what you needed to do, and you just quietly went ahead and did it.
You have to set an example if you're the oldest.
Uh-huh. It sounds to me like you certainly do set an example. And how young were you when you started making money, or working for your dad, more appropriately? Yes.
If we weren't involved in sports, we were expected to work. So I started working in about eighth grade.
And what were you doing in eighth grade for your father?
Rotten things. Pulling weeds, cutting brush,
mm-hmm.
Laying down street markers, those kind of things.
Do you get paid a lot of money for doing that?
Oh, no, minimum wage.
And how'd you feel about doing that? Your friends are outside playing and you're working for your father.
It made me study harder.
Ah, so you're not one to run away from responsibility. You're one to work harder to make things better, huh?
Absolutely.
So this organization known as the National Association of Home Builders, you said it's about 300 people. And nowadays, you know, I hear about people getting jobs and quitting jobs and they last, you know, 20 minutes in a job. Well, what's the turnover like in your organization?
We compare it to other trade associations and we have very low turnover. I'm very proud of that fact.
Why would you have low turnover? I'm trying to figure that out.
Because we're a team. You come into work at NAHB and you know that everybody there on the staff, from me to the newest representative, has each other's back, and we're going to work hard to achieve the goal of creating a good business environment for our members. And it's a laudable industry.
How did your childhood prepare you for your role as the CEO of the National Association of Home Builders?
Well, when you come from a large family, you learn to play on a team. When you grow up playing team sports, that also has a huge impact on you. And that's what I try to create at NAHB, is a team that's all pulling together.
Oh, all right. Sounds good. Who's got the next question here? Yes, Tracy.
Sure.
you mentioned growing up, you sort of just assumed responsibility a lot of times without it being explained to you or told to you. How now do you deal, you know, not everyone in the world is like that. How do you deal with folks who maybe have to have that explained to them a little bit?
Well, we have a very strong culture on the staff of NEHB, and it's a culture that we all have our jobs to do and everybody's expected to do their job. But more than that, and I say this every time I meet with a new employee, I expect everybody to do whatever it takes within the bounds of the legal, the ethical, and the moral to achieve our goals. Mm-hmm. And people buy into that very quickly.
There's a gentleman you brought with you today. What is your name?
Paul Lopez.
And Paul, what's your role in this organization, the National Association of Home Builders?
I'm Vice President of Communications.
So you're the Vice President of Communications, and you work with Jerry Howard.
I do.
How is Jerry different than other CEOs that you've met or other people that you've worked for?
Most importantly, I think it's his adaptability. We have to represent a lot of sectors, remodelers, multifamily builders, and Jerry has to kind of have all that in his head at all times, and he makes my job very easy.
Well, how does he make your job easy? What do you mean?
It's his adaptability. It doesn't matter what you throw at him. He seems to have kind of this encyclopedic knowledge of what's going on in every sector of the housing industry.
So Jerry really is committed to his job. How does that affect the team, having such a committed leader?
Well, like I said, it makes my job easy, and we know that we can depend on him on any situation.
You know that you can depend on him?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's important to you that you know that you can depend on the boss. And do the other people on the team feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. Jerry mentioned before about retention. I've been there for 15 years. It's not uncommon to have staff members 15, 20, 25 years.
Why are people sticking around for 15 years in today's environment where people switch jobs every 20 seconds?
Well, I don't think that it's a coincidence. It's been as long as Jerry's been CEO of NHB.
Huh, how interesting. Who's got the next question here? Yes.
See, Paul mentioned adaptability, and I'm wondering, you're hopping around from school to school must have made you pretty adaptable. But I also would imagine that it also gave you the ability not to suffer fools because you didn't really have time to deal with that kind of nonsense. So would you say that that is part of what you are today?
I think that I am a pretty quick judge of people's character and people's motivations, and people who want to be part of what we're doing, we welcome them, but we find out pretty quickly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here?
Tim. Jerry, do you ever go back and visit any of the resorts your dad developed?
Wow.
I do. A lot of times NHB has meetings in places that my dad developed,
neat.
So I go back a lot. But interestingly, when I bought a second home, it's in a small town in northern Vermont where there's not a resort anywhere near it.
Don't want to pound reflectors into the pavement? Is that you're worried about that?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. What kind of sports did you play when you were a kid, Jerry?
Football and baseball mostly.
And what was the role on the teams that you assumed?
Well, I was never on any one team long enough to be an outspoken leader, so I had to come in and prove myself. And I proved myself by trying my hardest, working my hardest, and adapting to the culture of the team.
It sounds to me like that teamwork, that adaptability, you know, really is part of your soul.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah. What's the website address of this organization, the National Association of Home Builders?
NAHB.org.
Let me have that one more time.
NAHB.org.
We've been speaking with Jerry Howard, CEO of National Association of Home Builders, CEO. And we've had the opportunity of speaking today with Emily Score, CEO of Growth Energy, Kateri Callahan, President of Alliance to Save Energy, Steve Santer, CEO of Associated General Contractors of America, and again, most recently, Jerry Howard, CEO of the National Association of Home Builders. I'd like to thank my co-host, Tracy Hammond, Harry Spirita, Stephen Straney, and Tim Perrin from Polsonelli, the law firm here in Washington, D.C., for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. And what is the website address for this law firm, Polsonelli?
Polsonelli.com.
How do you spell that?
P-O-L-S-I-N-E-L-L-I.
Polsonelli.com. All right. Again, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Well, we nailed it.
All right.